Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, a broker here at StoneX. I work in the grain and oil seed markets, energy and livestock. Work with speculators and hedgers, producers and consumers, anything to do in the futures and options markets, OTC structured products, and also do quite a bit of consulting work for our producers and consumers on the hedge side. So if you have any questions for me about what I do here or how we can help, you can give me a call at 312-706-7610. Email craig.turner@stonex.com. That's craig.turner@stonex.com. If you're a client and you like what you hear, we need to make any adjustments or put on new positions, contact me. You also have my cell and you can text me too. So let's get into it. I would say the big news this week was the Federal Reserve, the United States, increased interest rates by 75 basis points. Originally, the market was going to look for a 50 basis point hike. Then the inflation numbers were over 8%. That took the market off guard. Then the speculation was, well, the Fed's got to get really serious now and go 75 basis points, which they did. And then after the meeting, or the notes or the announcement, the conference after the meeting, the Fed said that, be on the lookout for another 75 or 50 going forward. So interest rates are going higher and they need to. I mean, the main concern, the main issue in the United States and around the world is inflation, but especially the United States. They really have some of the highest inflation rates. It's a combination of, transitory and structural issues. On the transitory side, we have had higher food prices and grain and oilseed prices, primarily because of we had a bad crop or a very difficult season in North America last year, particularly Canada, that took the brunt of it on canola and spring wheat. But also then on the, on the soybean side of things, South America had a very bad run of it this winter. Throw in the issues of the Black Sea, which won't last forever. Eventually, that does come back too with the exportable, wheat and corn and sunflower. Those things are technically transitory because it's a supply issue that eventually comes back. Now, the balance sheets get solved a lot better for wheat and soybeans. And corn in North America and South America, as opposed to the Black Sea and Ukraine, but they all do get solved eventually. Get more into that. So that's the transitory side of the grain market. There's also a transitory side of the energy market. If you want to say it's about policy, because policy can change on energy. In my view, we have a transitory issue. Because eventually the powers of be change or ideas change or the market realize it's made a, officials realize they've made a mistake and need to change direction. It happens. And then I think what we'll see is more the energy policy change, and we'll probably see kind of an all of the above energy take on energy where, whether it be renewables or solar or biofuels or fossil fuels, until the renewable and green energy can catch up with the demand that we need, there will probably be a lot more focus on the development of probably natural gas number one, and then petroleum and refineries number two. And it just seems like it's very difficult to see the energy situation getting any better without something like that happen. And that's what makes it, because policy can change, that's what makes it transitory. Structural inflation is when you have too much easy money out there or stimulus. And that is definitely something we've seen. We've had low interest rates pretty much since the subprime crisis and beyond. And also to all the quantitative easing and the government, especially in the wake of COVID, on both sides were issuing a lot of stimulus, and it kind of looks like the last package may have been the tipping point. I think a lot of things went into it, and it's not so simple, but it certainly contributed. And that is a structural issue. Like when you have these structural issues where there's too much money in the system, getting that cat out of the bag is, you know, back in the bag is very, very difficult. So I think it, when it comes to food prices and energy prices, those can get fixed, not like today, but it can get fixed in cycles. Where the pain comes in is fighting inflation that's structural, which means interest rates have to go up to make the cost of money higher to get less liquidity out of the system, because otherwise you have too much money chasing too few goods. So that would be number one, and we're going from a quantitative easing to a quantitative tightening. And that reduces growth, unfortunately, but it does, and that's why people are talking about a recession. That's why the stock market's in a bear market right now. The S&P is down over 20%, NASDAQ's down over 30%. Took a look at some of the other global, global indices like Canada. It's not down. You know, their major stock indices aren't down 20% yet, but they're getting there. They're following. The United States is definitely leading this one down, it looks like. The United States has the worst inflation numbers by far of the major economies. So the Fed has a mandate for basically keeping unemployment low and keeping interest rates low. Unemployment is low. Interest rates are definitely high. And that's where the government and the Federal Reserve is probably going to spend its time. It'll be interesting to see what happens in November and how certain policies change or don't change. But I would think the grain markets eventually sort itself out to some degree, while the energy really is going to take a little bit more of a policy initiative. So let's dive. I'm going to go energy first, and then we'll finish up with the grain markets. So on the energy side, our refining capacity here in the United States is actually declined over the past couple of years because there's no more investment going in. They're not, you know, a lot of these facilities, like the last new facility for refining on the East Coast was built in the 70s. That's 50 years ago. Money is not being pumped into it. Investment money is not being pumped into it. Banks don't want to lend for it. And basically, you just have very old, aging infrastructure on the energy side. And it's just, and there's nothing really being done about it. And the way policy is written here in the United States and also in Canada and in Europe, you know, they very much want to be focused on alternative fuels, green energy, biofuels, and, you know, solar, and not so much nuclear, but not getting away from fossil fuels. And that's, like I've said before, that's great. And that's something the world needs to look into, absolutely. But, you know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket either, especially when it comes to energy. It's been a long time since people have seen energy prices like this and be high for this long. I think people, including myself, have gotten used to low energy prices, and you don't realize how much it can impact even people in the, you know, in the higher parts of income and wealth. You'll notice it either way. So it is, and it even can affect some decisions. So when it comes to travel and manufacturing and industrial work and stuff like that, I know with farmers, it's, you know, some of the farmers that I work with have been talking about diesel, and it's very expensive right now. It's a huge cost. So what's going to happen here? We'll see. The situation in Ukraine isn't helping things. Now, crude oil is down $7 today. We're at 108 in the spot month. And if there is a recession and there is economic growth, one of the things that gets hit hard is energy. And we saw that on the COVID shutdowns. Usually you see high growth stocks, you know, with very high multiples get hit hard because when the economy is growing, they do the best. When the economy is not growing, they tend to do the worst. You see those tend to lead down the market. One of the reasons why the NASDAQ is down so much more compared to the Dow and the S&P. The other thing would be, you know, when you get a recession, energy prices and energy demand, you know, really starts to come down, and maybe that's what we'll start seeing too. And that might be why crude oil is down this much today. I'd say on the grain side, oh, and in natural gas, and then with natural gas is down about a dollar this week too, $1.50. There is a facility in Freeport in Texas, or Freeport facility in Texas that ships out and processes liquid natural gas, and it had a fire. It's not going to be operational or fully operational until the end of the year. And what was going on with natural gas, we were going higher because A, we were exporting as much as we could, but you can only export so much. What also was started to happen is because coal was getting so high around the world too, and the United States has cheap, relatively cheap natural gas here, a lot of the utility companies that produce electricity can do it either in coal or natural gas. And we've seen a lot of switching from coal to natural gas, and that's allowed the coal, instead of being used in the United States, be used elsewhere, because it's a lot easier to ship coal around the world. It's much more traditional cargo than liquid natural gas, which is much more specialized, and there's only just so many logistical options for that. So there's more of a bottleneck on getting liquid natural gas out compared to coal, which is, you know, really is bulk freight sending around the world. So that's been the energy story also. I think going forward, crude can keep on breaking here, and so can natural gas. If the market is very concerned about a recession, which is what it sounds like it is, you know, the playbook is, the trader's playbook, the hedge fund playbook is, you sell the high multiples stocks, so the growth stocks, you buy the, you know, you rotate that into a, you know, more safer, higher dividend utility kind of value plays, and you get out of energy, because energy will take a big hit too. And that's what's going, you know, that's kind of that is part of the hedge fund money flow playbook when you start to head into a recession. And I think that's what's going on. So it'll take time for that to play out. Something to keep an eye on, both natural gas and crude oil. Fun. Let's end up here at the grain and oil seed markets. So it is June 17th. This is usually the heart of a potential weather market. This year will be no different. It is hot and dry. We've already seen a rally in some of the grain and oilseed markets. We're going to may have a ridge developing over the central United States. Last year, Canada got the brunt of the bad weather. I think the United States gets the brunt of the bad weather this year. Just how the cookie crumbles. Everyone gets hit sometimes, and sometimes you're the garden spot or you have good crops, you know, while the markets are going up. I think that when it comes to oil seeds, that market gets solved first from a balance sheet perspective before corn and wheat. The reason being is soybeans don't have a Black Sea issue the same way corn and wheat do. A majority of the soybeans for export are grown in the United States, Brazil, and Argentina. And while the United States acreage pretty much stays constant, along with Canada, farmland is expanding in South America. Brazil, it's close to 4% a year. And they're going to keep on planting soybeans. What that ends up doing is more soybeans, more meal, more soybean oil. And, you know, for some applications, you know, some people will have to use palm, and some people will have to use sunflower, and some people will have to use canola. But there's also a substitute part of all the major and minor oil seeds. And the more soybeans and soybean oil and soy meal we'll have, the lower the prices, those other products will come down. When I take a look at soybeans, if the United States is a decent crop in South America, if the acres they're talking about and a trend line yield, would put them at a record crop next year. And honestly, by March or April next year, the soybean market has no tightness, if that's how it goes down. And then I think palm oil comes down with it because it's such a because it is a substitute for soybean oil. We would see sunflower we'll leave alone just because that's a Black Sea issue. But for Europe and Canada with rapeseed and canola, that will start to loosen up too. What is interesting about canola is even with a good canola crop this year, still need to price ration about a million metric tons, which is a whole of a lot better than this current marketing year when we had a price ration 6 to 7 million metric tons, which is why, you know, old crop and new crop were over 1,000 on the board and in the 20s and even as high as 25 or higher per bushel on the equivalent. So that's canola still stays tight and the ending stocks still look tight year over year, but the amount of price rationing is less, which means to me, you know, we could drop. I mean, if soybeans come down and we have a good canola crop, we could easily be 20% lower, you know, in sometime in 2023. So there is risk there. If we have that big crop. And I'm just going through these examples because the more I look at the oil seeds, and as long as there's no weather issues, even though we do have a lot of very good demand drivers for oil seeds, and we do, just you know, it's hard to sustain these types of prices forever. And I do think we'll eventually come down. And for the oil seed market for soybeans and canola, it could be sooner rather than later. With some decent crops. I know vegetable oil for biofuel is a big deal. It definitely is. We are having a lot of expansion there. And that's going to support vegetable oil and oil seeds overall. But that doesn't mean soybeans need to be trading 15, 16, 17, or canola needs to be over 1,000. I mean, canola could be 700, 800, and beans could be $12, $13 and still be elevated, and still be relatively, let's say, adequately stocked with you know in a global landscape. So I think the my concern right now is if we don't, as long as the crop is halfway decent here, and we'll find out in the next, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks, the risk is to the downside. In the short term, with this weather, you know, if you get another crop issue like we had in South America over the winter or up in Canada last year, you know, yeah, we do go the next leg higher, but you know, you usually don't have major crop issues year after season after season after season. Eventually get a pretty good run of weather. And we are due. So my concern right now is to the downside. I don't mind having some long exposure over the next 4 weeks playing that weather market, but I think after that we got to get serious about not just old crop but new crop sales and hedges for the oil seed markets. Corn, South America is going to have a pretty big corn crop next year. They'll have a lot more to export. United States probably, I'm guessing we added on some acres. Some people think we took some off. Regardless, the good to excellent ratings are very good. You know, we're unless we get some kind of real wild card on the weather side, we should have a pretty decent crop here. And that'll help out. I don't know if we really need to be $7 and $8 corn, there's going to be a 1.5 billion carryout. So I think the once you know the risk to the corn market right now is all pollination is going to be happening within the same 2 week period, you know, in from the beginning to middle of July. So that's a huge risk. And if you get some kind of ridge and it brings down yields from, you know, 177 to 170 or lower, like you could have some fireworks on your hand. But you know, it's always amazing how well the crop does overall year after year, especially with the farming practices and the seed technology. But yeah, it's definitely a concern, and the market will keep us elevated. And then finally, wheat. You know, we are ha the commodity markets at the end of the day are about the cash market or about the spot. And we're having more winter wheat come onto the market now. This is we are harvesting soft red winter wheat and hard red winter wheat. And it's coming to market. Would if the wheat is going to rally, it's going to be because of no wheat available in the Black Sea come this fall. And that is traditionally they're exporting wheat in large numbers. And if the you know the way the commodity markets work, especially grain and oil seeds, is you know based on where we think ending stocks will be, whether they're high or low, tight or burdensome, there's a range we can trade in that the funds and the money flow will push prices to. But when you get to the top or the bottom of those ranges, what drives the market into is the cash market. So for example, hard to see soybeans go the next leg higher without the cash market taking it there. It's hard to see, you know, corn breaking out above 850 without a real shortage in the cash market sending prices higher. You may look at the spreadsheet or on a balance sheet and say we should be up this high because we're projected to be this tight. But when you get out of, you know, let's say over the range of where these markets trade 95% of the time to go, you know, 90% of the time to go 5% higher or 5% lower from the normal range or historical range, that's a cash market driven. That's going to be the spot market driven, and it's not going to be the funds that normally take it higher. So that's something to keep in mind here. And we're not going to see that, or an opportunity to see that, or a possibility to see that, I think, in wheat, and, you know, until this fall. And the market's going to be very sensitive to, will wheat be able to get out of the Black Sea? Romania says about 1 million metric tons have been able to flow through their ports for Ukraine. Ukraine's be able to get grain out through Europe. It looks like, you know, Russia has actually taken some of the Ukrainian grain and got it through the Black Sea and into Syria. So this grain, whether it's legally or illegal, you know, sanctions or not, is getting out of the country and into the world. So, you know, and that most likely will continue to happen. You know, if it's needed somewhere, these things tend to find a way how to get done one way or another. So, and finally, you know, so when we take a look at, we'll just kind of end up here with the spring crops. Yeah, we got spring wheat up north and canola, and we've got corn and soybeans here, and also the spring wheat in the northern United States. The weather in Canada looks pretty good. It sounds like they got a lot of planting done there too. There will be, I know Manitoba probably have some, they missed their insurance date. Maybe acres might be a little light, or they'll go into something else. But you know, there should be a very good crop, I'm thinking, out of Canada. There is going to be a little bit of a wild card in the United States, especially for the corn, just to see how we come through pollination here. But if we get good crops, if we get at least average crops, prices should relax. So I would use any kind of summer weather rally to sell into. If you're spec trading, I can see using weekly options and, you know, kind of playing the weather market. But anything longer term, unless there's serious damage, I'd be looking to sell. If I am a end user, probably just letting the market come to me. I mean, I would be concerned on some kind of freak weather event, and maybe I have some calls up top just in case, in the short term, in case things go seriously wrong. Otherwise, I'd just be waiting for harvest to come around and start buying. So that's where we are. That is the podcast for the week. If you have any questions about what we're doing here or what we'll be looking to do, please give me a call. That'd be for spec or hedge, producer or consumer. And yeah, thanks for everyone for listening. Please go on to iTunes, give us a positive review. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me by phone or email. And I'll talk to you next week. Oh, and we are closed for Monday. It's a federal holiday. So we'll be back open in the United States here on Tuesday. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.